Howdy, and welcome to Vintage Voices, a production of the Radio Players of the Theater Company of Sun City. This program comes to you each Sunday at 11 a.m. and Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. on 101.5 FM, Huntley Community Radio. Currently, we are presenting classic plays in the Westerns genre, featuring the voices of our own actors. Today's play is The Return of Butch Cavendish, part of the Lone Ranger series that started as radio plays on January 30th, 1933, and ran through September 3rd, 1954. The Masked Man next appeared in children's books, on television, in movies, and in comic strips, showcasing his eternal appeal as part of our American culture. This episode's cast includes Dick Storer as the announcer, Kevin Fenner as the Lone Ranger, Orv McElfresh as Tonto, Russ Motyka as Butch Cavendish, Del Smith as Captain Reed, Jim Usler as Collins, Grant Mulder as Thunder Martin, Bob Holding as Sparks, and Myron Schellest as Dan Reed. I'm Ed Dennis. The play was directed by Jan Dennis, assisted by Gail Patterson. It was recorded and prepared for broadcast by Jim Eggers and Tony Pratt.
Hi-yo, Silver!
A fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty hi-yo, Silver, the Lone Ranger. Yes, when you hear that galloping horse, it's a Lone Ranger. With his faithful Indian companion Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains led the fight for law and order in the early western United States. Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver, the Lone Ranger rides again.
Come on, Silver. Let's go, big fella. Hi-yo, Silver! Away!
Thunder Martin was one of the closest friends of the Lone Ranger and Tonto. He was closing the corral gate of the ranch where he worked as a top hand when he saw a stranger approaching. Thunder observed that the man's clothes were too large and his face strangely pale.
Whoa!
Howdy, stranger.
Howdy. This is the Hornblow Ranch?
Yep, and I'm the top hand here. State your business.
You must be Thunder Martin.
Yes, that's my name.
Is it true that you're a friend of the Lone Ranger?
Yep.
I have an important message for the Masked Man. Where is he?
Well, he's traveling with a young gent named Dan Reed. Leave a message with me, and I'll give it to the Lone Ranger's engine pal. He'll be here soon.
No. I must see the Lone Ranger. It's a matter of life and death. His death.
Well, he said something about going to a place called Bryant's Gap.
Bryant's Gap?
It's 2-3 days' travel south of here.
Yeah, I know the place. Steady, fella. Giddy up. Come on.
Doggone. A matter of life and death? I wonder what he meant.
That night found the Lone Ranger and his teenage nephew, Dan Reed, camped in a mountainous country west of Bryant's Gap. After leaving Thunder Martin, they made a side trip to visit the Lone Ranger's secret silver mine. Dan met a trusted old man who lived there, working the mine and refining the ore as necessary to provide silver for the Lone Ranger's bullets and his own simple needs.
My brother and I discovered that mine long ago, Dan, before you were born.
That was before you and my dad joined the Texas Rangers, wasn't it, sir?
Yes. When we joined the Rangers, we couldn't work the mine, so we kept the location a secret. Your father's share of that property is now yours, Dan. Someday, you may become very wealthy by starting large-scale operations there.
Oh, I don't care about that. I just want to travel with you and Tonto.
Thanks, Dan. But later, I'd like to discuss that with you.
How soon will we reach the place where Dad is buried?
We'll be at Brian's Gap the day after tomorrow.
Well, that's the...
Yes, the anniversary of your father's death.
Yes.
I'll always remember that day. The things that happened completely changed my life. Your life. In fact, the lives of many people. Your father and I were in a group of six Texas Rangers who were trailing the Cavendish gang.
That was a powerful gang, wasn't it?
Yes, Dan. Butch Cavendish and his outlaw followers terrorized the entire Southwest. We heard that the gang was hidden in the canyon known as Bryant's Gap. The six of us rode into the canyon. Your father, who was in charge of our group, signaled a halt.
Whoa! Whoa there!
Can't read. Why are we stopping here?
I sent a guy ahead to scout the canyon so we'll not be ambushed. We'll wait for him to report.
Yes, sir.
The guide was not a ranger. He was a civilian. And unknown to any of us, he was working for Cavendish. We waited only about 15 minutes. Then the guide rode up to us and reported.
Ho there! Ho there! Captain Reed, I've located the Cavendish gang.
In the canyon?
No, sir. They're camped in the woods beyond the far end of the canyon.
You hear that, men?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
We'll go through the canyon on the double.
Yeah.
Collins, the guide, had lied to us. Cavendish and his men knew we were coming. They were waiting behind protecting rocks on both rims of the canyon. They opened fire with high-powered rifles. Our horses went down and the six of us were trapped on the canyon floor. Three of us were wounded in the opening volley. We found meager protection behind rocks and returned fire. We were at a tremendous disadvantage and hopelessly outnumbered. Your father and I were fighting side by side. We both had several wounds. Then your father said,
"Can't go on much longer. Listen to me while I'm able to talk. My wife and son are on their way from the east. If you survive, I know you'll take good care of them."
I knew that nothing short of a miracle would bring any of us through that fight alive, but I nodded to your father. Then he said,
"I'll count on you to resign. When the Rangers had worked that silver mine we staked out, see that my son and his mother get my share of the mine." Oh!
Your father was struck by a fatal bullet. That's the last I remember of the fight.
Tano told me how he found you in the canyon. You were the only one alive.
Yes. He nursed me back to health. He buried your father and the four other Rangers, and he made a sixth mound of earth and a cross with my name on it so the Cavendish gang would think there'd been no survivors.
Was it Tano's idea for you to wear a mask?
Yes, Dan. He made my first mask out of the black cloth on my brother's vest. At first, I posed as an outlaw. That made it easier to run down the men in the Cavendish gang.
How long did it take to get them all?
Years, Dan. Last of all, we captured Cavendish himself.
Did the law hang him and his pals?
Some were hanged. Cavendish and several others went to jail for life. Since then, they've all died, except Butch Cavendish. He's in the territorial prison.
It took you a long time to find me after you became the Lone Ranger.
Yes, Dan, a long time.
How did you know I wasn't massacred by the Indians who attacked our wagon train?
I didn't. But when I heard of that massacre, heard that there were no survivors, some inner sense seemed to tell me that my brother's son still lived. So I never abandoned the search for you, and I finally found you. Now we'd better turn in and get some sleep. We're breaking camp at dawn.
That night, the man who had stopped to talk to Thunder Martin camped on the trail far north of Bryant's Gap. And that night, Tano returned to the Hornblow Ranch. After turning the paint horse into the corral, the Lone Ranger's Indian friend rapped on the door of the bunkhouse where Thunder Martin lived.
What in Tonto?
How, Thunder?
Well, come on in. Doggone, I'm glad to see you. Sit down, Tonto. I want to tell you about a gent who came here looking for the Lone Ranger. He came about noon. Said he had something mighty important to tell the Lone Ranger. He said it was a matter of life and death.
Oh, that's plenty strange.
He wouldn't tell me the message, and he didn't want to wait for you. So I told him the Lone Ranger was heading for Bryant's Gap. He knew where that is and said he'd go there.
How him look?
Well, he's a homely-looking galoot with small eyes that shift around while he talks. He was wearing clothes that looked like they'd been borrowed from someone bigger.
I wonder why him want a Lone Ranger.
Oh, a horse just stopped outside.
Hey, Thunder, are you there?
Yeah, I'm coming. Well, it's Western Union. How are you, Sparks?
All right.
You're a long way from town.
It's on account of this message, Thunder. It came over the wire tonight. It might be important. It's for the Lone Ranger.
Well, Tonto's a masked man's partner. Give him the message.
It tells about someone who busted out of jail.
Let's see. Cavendish?
That's Butch Cavendish.
Him man who was here may remember him.
But Tonto...
You tell him where Lone Ranger go?
Well, yeah.
Cavendish go there. Him last of bad gang, and him kill Lone Ranger. Me try to catch him before it too late.
It was mid-afternoon on the anniversary of the massacre in Bryant's Gap when the Lone Ranger and Dan guided their horses past the high cliff towards the canyon's entrance. The ground was littered with rocks of all sizes, some as large as a fair-sized house. When the horsemen came alongside a particularly big boulder that stood a few yards from the base of the cliff, the masked man drew reins.
Stop here, Dan.
Whoa. Golly, this is rough country.
It hasn't changed a bit since that day, years ago.
And just ahead of us, there's a gap in the cliff. Is that the entrance to the canyon?
Yes, Dan.
Then why are we stopping here? Isn't that where we're going?
Yes, we'll leave the horses here in the shade of the boulder. Easy.
Steady, boy. Yes, sir.
Dan, there's the entrance to the cave.
Oh, is that where Tonto brought you after he found you wounded in the canyon?
Yes, that's where I first put on a mask and became the Lone Ranger.
Is it far to Dad's grave?
No, he's buried right at the entrance to the gap. We'll go there now.
The entrance to Bryant's Gap was about 50 yards wide and bounded by cliffs 100 or more feet high. Masses of rock broken from the cliffs by countless years of wind and storm were piled along the sides of the canyon. Near the western side of the entrance, there was a little plot of grassland. Here, Dan Reed saw six mounds of earth, each marked by a crudely fashioned cross.
Tonto and I carved the names in these crosses before we rode away from here, Dan.
Oh.
This one on the left marks the resting place of the man who led us, Captain Reed.
My dad.
One of the finest, most courageous men who ever lived. You're going to be just like him.
I want him to be proud of me.
He is. Believe me, Dan, he's proud of you.
These others, Jim Bates, Sam Cooper.
Jack Stacy and Joe Brandt, Texas Rangers.
This one. The Sixth Cross.
My name is on it, Dan.
Yes, I see.
That's why Cavendish and his gang thought that all of us were dead. They never knew that one Texas Ranger became the Lone Ranger.
Oh!
Dan!
A shot!
Come here and keep down.
Moving with lightning speed, The Lone Ranger grabbed Dan's arm and leaped to the shelter of nearby rocks. And the masked man was none too soon.
Oh!
A third shot brushed his shoulder.
Keep your head down.
Who's firing at us?
I don't know.
I don't even see where the shots were coming from.
I did. There's a man on top of the cliff on the far side.
But you're hit.
It's nothing. Just a scratch.
Gosh, he seems determined to get us.
I'll return his fire.
Did you get him?
No, I didn't expect to from here. He's in a position to fire down at us without showing much of himself.
Good thing this rock is plenty high.
Yes.
Who do you think he is?
I have no idea, Dan. But I'm going to find out. Here, take this gun. I've taught you to use it.
Yes, sir.
I'll leave my gun belt with you. There's plenty of ammunition.
But you...
I'll keep one gun. Now listen carefully, Dan.
Yes, sir.
Reach around the side of the rock with the gun and fire in the general direction of that opposite cliff.
Now?
Yes, try it. But don't expose your head or shoulder. That's the way. Now fire. Good.
He fired back.
That's what I want. Maintain spaced gunfire to keep his attention. I'm going to the top of that cliff. I think I can reach it without being seen.
But your shoulder. You're wounded.
A scratch. Keep firing.
The many boulders concealed the Lone Ranger as he circled wide and reached the cliff on the far side of the canyon's mouth. The cliff was difficult to climb, and the masked man was hampered by his wound, but finally he reached the top. He was 100 yards from the edge of the canyon, 100 yards behind the gunman. He reached for the gun he stuck in his belt and gasped. His gun was gone.
Lost it, scaling that wall.
Though one-armed and dismayed, the Lone Ranger lost no time through indecision. He moved ahead cautiously and quickly, hoping that the unknown gunman wouldn't turn. The man was crouched behind a rock at the edge of the cliff. He fired intermittently, and Dan Reed's responses came like an echo. The Lone Ranger was within 50 yards of the attacker. The distance narrowed to 25 yards, then half of that. When the gunman paused to reload his weapon, the masked man spoke.
Drop that gun.
What the?
Cavendish.
You here?
I want you.
I'll kill you.
The Lone Ranger was weak from loss of blood. His blows lacked their usual force. Cavendish, on the other hand, was tough and strong from years of hard prison labor, and he knew all the foul tricks of rough and tumble fighting. He kicked and gouged, he clawed and bit. The two became locked and went down. The Lone Ranger's head struck a rock. He was half stunned. Cavendish secured a grip on his throat.
Glad my gun was empty. I'd rather kill you with my bare hands.
Weakened and only semi-conscious, the Lone Ranger's fighting heart would not admit defeat. He mustered his strength for a final mighty effort and wrenched free. He rolled away from Cavendish, then lay back, his head scant inches from the edge of the cliff. Cavendish leaped to his feet.
I'll get you. I'll strangle the life out of you. I'll square things.
The Lone Ranger saw the outlaw coming, arms extended, fingers reaching for a death grip. He thought,
my last chance, my life or his. All right, Cavendish.
The Lone Ranger had acted instinctively to meet the attack by bending his knees to bring up his feet, and by grasping the outlaw's extended hands, which were reaching for his throat. Cavendish was lifted bodily by the Lone Ranger's boots against his stomach. He somersaulted over the masked man and over the edge of the cliff into the ravine.
You!
The Lone Ranger's strength gradually returned and his brain cleared. He made his way to the base of the cliff. He found the gun that had fallen from his belt, but then hurried to the entrance of Bryant's Gap. There, he saw Cavendish lying on the ground. Dan Reed and Tonto were at the outlaw's side.
Tonto!
Kemosabe, me learn Cavendish come here. Me ride hard, try to catch him. Me too late.
Tano arrived while you and that man were fighting on the cliff. We saw Cavendish fall.
No.
Oh.
Tano, he's still alive.
Huh? But him dying, him not live long, him hurt plenty bad.
You mass troublemaker.
Cavendish, can you hear me?
I hear you. You made trouble for me from the start. Smashed my gang.
Yes.
The Lone Ranger dropped to his knees beside the dying outlaw. He leaned forward so his face was close.
Cavendish, I'm going to remove my mask.
Don't bother.
I want you to die knowing the true identity of the man who smashed your gang.
No!
Look at me! Do you remember me?
You? Reed? No, you're dead.
No, Cavendish, I'm not dead.
I saw you fall. I saw your grave. You, all six of the Rangers.
One Ranger did not die, Cavendish. One Ranger lived to avenge the others.
Beaten by you? My whole gang smashed by one lone Texas Ranger?
Yes, Cavendish, by one lone Ranger.
I wish I could have died not knowing it. You... Oh.
Cavendish, dead, Kimusab.
Tano, he was the last of that gang. Now we may feel free to take away the sixth cross and smooth the ground so only five mounds of earth remain.
Golly, it's like the hand of fate.
What is, Dan?
You, Cavendish. The long years of smashing that gang, and it all ends right here, where it began.
No, Dan, it doesn't end here. We'll keep riding. I'll keep my mask and continue as an unknown man. There are still many outlaws in the West, men like Cavendish who must be brought to justice.
I want to help. I've shown you that I can use a gun. May I have one of my own?
Yes, Dan. But when you're a man, there'll be law and order in the West, and great cities like those in the East. There will always be bad men, but they'll be different from the kind we know. To combat them, you'll need weapons and strength and courage. But these must be backed by knowledge and education to handle them intelligently. Our great country will progress only so long as there are leaders. You and young people like you must educate yourselves to be the leaders. Son, I want you to go to college, to study science and law, history and the problems of government. I want you to learn the many things required, so you'll be ready to take your place as a good citizen and carry on where we leave off.
I understand.
Knowing that you're in school, preparing for the future, I'll be content to continue helping others bring law and order to the West until you, young men, can take over.
I'll go to school, sir. I'll study hard.
In that case, Dan, I'll feel that I fully kept that pledge I made so many years ago beside your father's grave.
Pledge?
To find you and prepare you for manhood.
I hope Dad knows.
I'm sure he does. Go over there, Dan. Go alone to the side of his... to the place where we left him sleeping. There you'll be close to him. I think you'll know that he and your mother are together, hand in hand, as they watch you. That they're saying, "Our son is good. Let us pray that he too will have a son who will carry on his name and make him proud."
Kimosabe. Look at Dan. He kneel by grave.
He's close to his father, Tonto.
Ugh! And that where you, me, pledge friendship many year ago.
This is a good time to renew that pledge.
Kimosabe, long as you live, long as me live, me ride with you.
Yes, Tonto. I couldn't carry on without you. As long as we ride, we'll travel together.
We hope you've enjoyed the return of Butch Cavendish. Join us again next month for our third episode in this series, A Doctor's Story. And visit the Vintage Voices website at huntleyradio.com to hear any of our 24 previously recorded radio plays. The Theater Company of Sun City is rehearsing for its next musical stage production, Annie Get Your Gun, to be presented on May 3rd through 6th on the Drendel Ballroom stage. For ticket information, contact 847-515-8545. That's 847-515-8545.